Hi, the next 15 minutes is for you, our listener, as Fred Kuhn explores this issue.
Welcome, everybody. What a show we have today. I have lots of questions for our guest, Cindy Tavlin. Cynthia, or Cindy as she's best known, is the creative director of the ECG Group. They develop branding, marketing campaigns for educational institutions and nonprofits that have bolstered admissions, raised retention rates, and supported fundraising initiatives, three of the very key areas for any organization. Welcome to the show, Cindy.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me, Fred.
Oh, you're
very
welcome. Yeah, I'm glad to have you here. It's a really interesting topic. I'm probably going to segue into some other questions, but let's get right down to the business here. What drives a successful educational marketing campaign in today's market?
Well, there's certainly a lot that goes into it, but I think the core thing that it all comes down to is understanding your audience, their needs, their wants, their desires, pain points, or even their disappointments with other schools. You can have the most brilliant marketing on the planet, but if it doesn't resonate with the priorities of the people that you want to come into your school, it's basically pointless. So that's the place where we start with any educational marketing campaign, is really understanding the audience. And once you understand them, then you can put together a really powerful campaign.
Do you think that the clients that you have, let's separate them into groups. We have universities, we have nonprofits. Let's take the universities. Do you think they really understand their population with the changes that are going on today in the educational world?
That's a great question. I think to a sense, they do when you look at the baseline of things. So, for instance, they understand that there's more millennials coming in and that you have to communicate with millennials in different ways. But I think sometimes they're not always aware of the different things that are driving their audience or the deeply felt wishes and aspirations that their audience hopes to achieve. And in a sense, they may understand it, but no one's ever like really thought about it and put it all together in a marketing plan. So, for example, we recently worked with a school, and we do a lot of focus groups and interviews before we start on any branding campaign. And in all these focus groups, we discovered that the parents we talked to had a great deal of frustration in that the schools their kids attended prior to coming to this school just didn't make sense to them. Kids are being held in and told you have to be absolutely quiet before you have to go out for recess. Or there's a lot of drills and testing in kindergarten, and none of that made sense to them. So understanding that perspective of the parents, we were able to take that frustration and infuse it into our attitude in the marketing plan we used. So it became, you know, this is a school that makes sense. Many other schools may teach facts, but we teach understanding. Many other schools may talk about character, but we practice it. So understanding the audience really turned into this great campaign that turned out to be very successful for them overall. And it all began with understanding the audience.
What is successful in this particular story? What's successful?
Well, every school is kind of has a different position in the ecosystem. So for this particular school, it was just a general lack of awareness that the school was even in the area. For some schools, the challenges can be very different. It may be that there's a misperception of the school.
Do you measure this? Is it part of the work to measure this and see what the general change is in whatever the strategy is?
Yeah, definitely. You can definitely measure change in perception, but the other thing we really like to do with our clients is deliver real measurable outcomes.
So like increased enrollment, greater revenues, those kinds of things? Are those some of the measures?
Yeah, but usually you have to do a few steps back for all of that. So
I'm a bottom line guy. I just going right to the jugular, you know, hey, did you make more money? Did you get more?
Well, it's a big commitment, whether attending a college or going to an independent school, it's a big commitment. So it's not like buying a consumer product online. So a lot of times it's measured in the increase in number of people who call the school or attend one of your events or sign up to take a tour or download an ebook on your educational philosophy. So all of those things are things that will eventually lead to greater enrollment and impact your bottom line.
Well, we've kind of skipped the stone across the surface, but obviously the same campaign message doesn't work for every generation. So how do you tailor generational messages?
Well, the way we do it is, once we do understand the audience, a lot of times you will start with a message that will resonate with those different generational audiences, but you really want people to be able to take that message and make it their own. So schools can have a lot of different generational audiences. So you have students, you have parents, you also have grandparents who at many independent schools are maybe funding the tuition. So they are part of your audience as well. And then you also have your internal audiences, which can be multi-generational, which could include faculty and alumni from different eras. So having a message that each of those generational audiences can take and tell their story about the institution is really important.
You know, it's very parallel to the workplace today. There are five generations in the workplace, from boomer to Z. And so it's the same kind of communication of message variants to each one of the generations. It's the same thing. And you have different audiences.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sure. I can give you an example, if that's helpful.
Absolutely, yeah. I love it. I love stories.
Okay. All right. Well, we were working with this one school that is a progressive school and very proud to be progressive, but progressive schools, because they're based very much on experiential learning, a lot of times there's misperceptions about them, that they're kind of soft or not rigorous for kids. So in coming up with a message for the school, we needed something that could be broad enough that would talk about progressive education in a really inspiring way, but also something that each of those generations could take and use on their own. So the message was, incredible things happen when children love to learn. And that was something that each of these different audiences could take and tell their story about the school. So a faculty member could use it and tell people, prospective parents, well, here's some incredible things that are happening in my classroom now. And a current parent who wanted to promote the school could say, here are some of the incredible things I'm seeing with my kid because they go to this school. So that's just an example of how it could work.
Well, the way you stated the phrase, any generation, any parent would look at that and automatically apply that to their own child. What an interesting approach. If you could talk just a bit about what are some tips to implement educational marketing, because we'll have people in the audience who want to do this, who want to know more. So we have three quick tips, or maybe four, or maybe five, on that will resonate with folks listening that they can actually take away today. What would those be?
Okay. Well, the first thing is, think like your audience. And we kind of covered this a little earlier, but it's more than just the big stuff and crafting your big message. It's really thinking like your audience on everything you create and put out there to make for your school. So a lot of schools have curriculum guides on their websites, and it's a particular pet peeve of mine, because very often they're these really super long, detailed descriptions of all the subjects that kids are going to study in your school, but they rarely explain why you have this curriculum or why this curriculum matters. So if you were going to think like your audience, you might, for instance, tell people, hey, this is what first graders are like, and this is what they're capable of at the beginning of the year. And then present some highlights from your curriculum, and then alongside with why you do it, which is going to connect to the outcomes that you hope to see at the end of the year. So it's just a really better way to get people to understand the value of your curriculum. And a lot of times you can only get there because you're thinking like your audience and what's important to them.
Are there other tips that you'd like to share?
Sure. I'd say the second is be authentic. A lot of times the schools we meet with, they are really worried about what they don't have when they start to do marketing. They're always looking to that bigger school that may have the larger, better science lab. And our advice is always to concentrate on what you do have and what you do better than anyone else. And that's something also that's going to work with any audience of any generation.
It works in life too. Be authentic who you are.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. That's the second tip.
And then the third tip is that sometimes you have to be inventive to get your message out. So as I'm sure you're well aware, your audience is well aware, marketing is deep into our lives today. It sometimes even seems like we're
intrusive.
That's another word. So you have to find a way to get people's attention. And sometimes it's just a matter of reframing the question. So I worked as a reference librarian in a public library for a number of years. And we would always want to get the kids and college students who came to us to ask for books for their research papers. We'd always want to make them aware that these great academic databases that they can't see, but that they could access with their library card. So anytime I tried to preach to the kids about the academic databases, their eyes would glaze over. But if I reframe the question, if I said to them, hey, I found you these books, but would you like me to show you another resource that could help you write a better paper or help you get a better grade? Well, now I had their attention, and now they were ready to listen to these academic databases. So sometimes you have to try to find a way in with your marketing, but not clickbait, because we're not fans of clickbait here at ECG Group, but you just have to find an inventive way to capture people's attention.
Well, it's always true, isn't it? Electoral doesn't work, and what's in it for me is the bottom line. So if I can find something that's in it for me, I'm more interested than if you just tell me. Folks, we have spent a wonderful time here with Cindy Tavlin, the creative director at the ECG Group. If you want to know more about Cindy's background or want to get a hold of Cindy, check the executive biography section of the Workplace Strategies website. Cindy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. This was really fun.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Thanks.
Thanks for joining us. If you wish to speak with Fred or you want a transcript of this interview, send an email to podcast@stuartcoopercoon.com. See you soon.